Without further ado, all right, Torah talks about the Yomim Tovim and quite a few parshas, already as early as Parshas Mishpatim, and we have later Parshas Re'eh, and at the end of the Torah, and in the middle we have Parshas Emor and Parshas Pinchas. So in Parshas Mishpatim, Parshas Re'eh, it only mentions the Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. Same thing in Parshas Kisisa. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur only get mentioned in Parshas Emor and Parshas Pinchas. Parshas the Korbanei Musaf for all the Chagim. And also Parshas Emor has the detailed halachas of the different Yomim Tovim. So, this is an obvious reason why, because, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, even though they're Yomim Tovim, and it's up to Beis Din, to sanctify the month of Tishrei in order to activate them, just like all the other Yom Tovim that are calendar dates, but they're not regalim. There's no chiv of Aliyah L'Regel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Even though, especially on Yom Kippur, Zman Shabbos, Mikdash Hayakayim, there'll be a lot to see, a lot of avodah, a lot to watch. But there's no chiyuv to go to the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. That's just, it's not one of the three regalim. So that's why sometimes Torah only mentions these three in terms of, three regalim. It's only these two parshas of Emor and Pinchas where it talks about all Yom and Tovim that get mentioned. But otherwise, you see this cycle of three, and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are left out. And again, so the reason is obvious that there's a delineating factor that these are called regalim and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur not. These have a chiyuv aliyah l'regel and these don't, and we have to understand why. What sets Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur apart? They're Yomim Tovim, but there's no chiyuv aliyah l'regel. It's something that has to be understood. It's not the same like the other Yomim Tovim. So even though it's a Rosh Hashanah that we're coming to, has all halachas of Yom Tov, Ochel Nefesh, but it's not a regal. It's not a regal. There's no problem, l'chatchil, for someone to, even when their Beis Hamikdash is standing, for someone to, make Rosh Hashanah in their own house. And we have to understand why. These are not regalim. They're Yomim Tovim, but they're not regalim. but there is a connection to Sukkos that needs to be explored. We know that the theme of finishing up our kapara and getting inscribed for a good year extends all the way up to Hoshana Rabbah. There's a hidden theme that Chazal talk about that if you want to be assured that we were successful on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. How do we know if we were successful? When Am Yisrael comes out with the Lulav and Esrog on Sukkos, it's a medrash. Am Yisrael won. We won.
Am Yisrael won?
We won. We were successful in our trial because the trial is behind, it's a closed door trial, right? Yom Kippur is a closed door trial. I mean, the Medrash brings that there was a custom in their days that a person went it wasn't like today. All the trials were behind closed doors, so I didn't know who won. If there's no witnesses to what the judges ruled, or there may not be witnesses. Right? So the one who came out holding a palm branch, the one who emerged from the courtroom holding the palm branch, he was the winner, and that was the minutes. That's how you know who won because. Only one guy came out holding the palm branch. And that's Am Yisrael and Sukkos. They come out with the Lulav and Esrog. And still, there's still something that still needs to be finalized till the last day of Sukkos, till Shana Rabbah. So that, all these Chagim of Tishrei are connected. So Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are not regalim, but they are connected to Sukkos, right? And not just because they share the month, but because there's this theme that we still need Hoshana, we still need to be saved, and we still, still want a good kvittel. That means that, because even if, the even if the on the law books, like, you know, the Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim, the Ribon Shalom, you know, gave a script, but still in the administering and the carrying out, there's some flexibility of, you know, how the, you know, because it's sometimes a little bit subject to interpretation. Because if you write a Gzar Din, well, you could read it this way, you could read it that way. And that's the significance of the Kvitto on when, how is it going to be read to be executed? There's still some flexibility in the way you read the sentencing, right? But, you know, I'm not, that's not the main talk for tonight. I'm just trying to understand, you know, we want to explain the, you know, in what way, you know, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are different from the other, you know, regalim, and yet they're still connected to Sukkot. Another thing that needs to be understood is, you know, is the, you know, the, their position. They come between Shavuos and Sukkot. And, you know, that can't be a coincidence, such fact that they're integrally linked to Sukkot, like we just mentioned. But they're also connected to Shavuos, exactly where they're coming from. There's something very prominent by Matan Torah. V'kol shofar holech b'chazak mod. And Torah emphasized it a few times that, you know, there's a lot of light and a lot of sound. The sound of Matan Torah was the sound of the shofar. Right? As the next holiday on the calendar, you know, is Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah Yelachem, Shofar. Yeah. So it's connected to Sukkot, and we could see a clear association to the Chag that came before it. There's the Shofar. And it's a sign which, you know, it's, which we really, really should look into, you know, that it's meant to be there. So even though it's not one of the regalim, it's meant to be there, right between Shavuos and Sukkot. This has some connection to Shavuos that needs to be explained, the shofar, and it has a connection to Sukkot. You know, that's its place, right? And so now we know that the big setback that there is on our calendar, you know, is also in that time slot. It's been, you know, after Shavuos comes Shavuos or Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. So we have Shavuos or Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, and then come in Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and you get the sense that, you know, there was a setback, and then there's the tikkun to get back on track. And that's what we're going to explain, you know, what the you know, what got derailed and what gets, you know, back, you know, on track, you know, for Sukkot. So now the significance of the Shalosh Regalim, the Torah is very very clear about, and it connects it to what goes on in life, remembering that the time of Matan Torah was an agrarian society. Agriculture was the center of everything, which was the case until rather recently in history. So the Torah makes it very clear. It says it black on white, you know, more than once, that, you know, Pesach is Chodesh Aviv, when things start blooming. Shavuos is Chag HaKotzir, when you harvest. And Sukkot is Chag HaOsif, when you gather it in, right? That's, you know, that's the annual cycle, and the Torah is making it clear that the three regalim are part of a annual cycle, just like the crops. There's a time that they bloom, time that they're harvested, time that they're gathered in, and we're supposed to understand the Yomim Tovim in that light, that they're actually very connected, right, to the natural annual cycle, where all the everything that happens in the cycle are interconnected steps along the way. Right. So now the there's something else, you know, there's the cycle of life, right? We know that there's birth, you know. There's attaining bar bat mitzvah, right? And then there's, you know, the further shlemus that's attained at the time of marriage, which is called to be bone bias, right? To build a house, Bias never meets Yisrael. And this also, you know, corresponds to, you know, the three regalim, right? That on Pesach we were born as a people, right? It's our birth, national birth. Lekachas goy mikerev goy, we are extracted a nation out of another nation, like Chazal say, you know, like taken out of the womb, as if Egypt was a womb, Mitzrayim, Mitzar, we're taken out. Right? Shavuos is, you know, the bar mitzvah. You become chayiv in mitzvahs. And Sukkos is the chuppah. Right? You go in, you know, Sukkos is like the chuppah, and you know, you go into your house. Right? So what are these three phases in life that are parallel to these three phases in the annual cycle of what happens, you know, agriculturally? Right? So the idea is like this, you know, the... There's the beginning, and the beginning is all pure potential. Right? After that, you know, you go from potential to actual. You actualize your potential. What's the step after that? Is there a step after that? You've done all you can do.
Potential.
You actualize your potential. Is there anything after actualizing your potential?
The question is, what is the definition then of actualizing potential?
It could be anything, right? Is there anything you do after you've done everything you can do, after you've developed every single talent you can develop? Is there anything after that?
Maintenance.
What?
Maintenance.
What?
Using it.
You can enjoy your reward for finally getting to that stage. It's like a grandparent. You've had the children, now you're getting your interest. Your reward.
Yeah, so here's the, you know, I totally agree with that, but that's what Olam Haba is for. I'm asking, is there something else in this world to do after you've actualized your potential? So you're born, like, as in, you know, Pesach, right? And you go become bar mitzvah, you grow into adulthood, as in Shavuos, bar mitzvah, you know, and you emerge, right? And then, you continue that process. You continue that process, right? Is there anything else to do in life after that? In this world, I'm talking about, in this world, before you leave this world.
Does actualizing potential include Avodas Hashem or not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is something else. Because even after you've done all you can do, you have to internalize it. I mean to say like this. Right? There's to do good, and there's to be a good person. Now, you would think that these two things are synonymous. No, not necessarily. Right, you know, there's, you know, which comes first? You know, is, I guess, the one of these chicken and egg questions. Is it because you're a good person that you do good, or is it because you do good that you are a good person?
It can be either.
Which came
way.
First?
It can be either way, but we're supposed to do.
No, that's, you know, not. It's not either way. It's both.
No, it could.
I've explained it.
We're supposed to do mitoch lo lishma lishma, right. Abi balishma.
Right.
So that's the way that we should do it, because most people don't reach that level before they've actually gone and done. So you do, even though you haven't internalized it yet and you don't really feel it yet.
Yes. And then after you've done?
Then after you've done, eventually you do internalize it, which is the third step.
Isn't it different for different people?
Okay. Well, there's different phases, but we'll explain all this. So... The thing is like this, you've done good in this world. Why do you take it with you to the next world? Yeah, you accomplished here. You should be rewarded here. All mitzvahs should just be paid off over here. You made the world a better place, fine, yeah.
I like that idea.
What?
I like that idea. I'm in.
Right? Why do you get, you know? You know, in what way, do you, you know, in this world you did good, this is where you did your avoda, so this is where you should get paid. Right. Why, you work here, you get paid there.
No, certain mitzvahs will get paid, and Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh.
Right.
Do it over any
right.
one.
But that's not the norm, you know.
You know, they make a different bigger hole, and those mitzvahs will get both, and Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh.
Yeah. So, but you take your mitzvahs with you. They say you can't take it with you, right? You can't take it with you, but mitzvahs you do take with you.
Right.
How? How is mitzvahs different from your wealth and whatever else, all your materials? They say you can't take it to the grave with you, but the mitzvahs you do take to the grave with you. How does it work? And you did those things here.
Is that only in the condition that you internalized it, that you take it with you, or not?
Yes.
Because they change you.
That's right. You chose good, you did good. But it also goes, every time you do good, it also boomerangs and your character changes also.
Right.
It makes an impact on you. It makes an impact on you. Right? And that's why, in that manner, you take your mitzvahs with you. Even though it was an action done here, whatever, the chesed, anything you did, the chesed you did, the lulav that you shook, right? But they're saying that it goes right back, it gets reinvested in the person himself, right? And that's what you take with you to the next world. That's the osif, the chaga osif, right? The ingathering, all the good that you've done is internalized and reinvested inside you who chose to do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
that
now
means that even if your motivation is not
that's the point.
Most sincere, initially, that you should keep
right.
doing things because ultimately you'll get there.
Right. So very good. So now,
we had this discussion the other day, and one of the kids was telling me, well, people really only do
right.
things because they feel good about themselves. They're not really doing it for the other person. I said,
right.
Does it matter? The other person is getting a benefit, and they are doing something nice, whether or not they're doing it, to fulfill some need within themselves. Like,
mm-hmm.
is it important?
Yes.
It is important because when a person changes and he internalizes it, then he doesn't even have to do to affect. He just has to be, and then he affects people around him because he became something completely different. He still does, but the first one has to do in order to affect. The person, once they've internalized, they just their state of being already makes an impact on their sviva. Like a tzaddik leaves a roshim even when he leaves the place. Because who he is has made such a state,
yeah.
has made such an impact on everybody around him.
Okay. Well, so let's organize the ideas. So once you understand that when you do good, it also gets reinvested inside of you, right? So just like, you grow produce, So you grow produce and you cut the produce. You don't leave it on the fields. You gather it in, right? And so also, in life, You're supposed to, after you've done good, there's some aspect of ingathering, right? That the good that you've done, boomerangs back at you and changes you. You are and it changes your immortal form that you take with you
right.
to the next world. And in that manner, you took your mitzvahs with you, as
right.
opposed to your regular earthly endeavors. That you did them here and they stay here. Okay. So now this explains, things that we find in Chazal and in the Musar Sfarim, that mitzvah goreres mitzvah, right? You do mitzvahs, you're motivated, to do more mitzvahs, or like the Musar Sfarim throughout the ages have coined the phrase adam nifal lefi pu'ulosav. A person is influenced by what he does, right? Everything you do, it's not just outwards, it's also inwards, right? So I first want to bring this back to the Shul Shvu'im before we talk more in particular of what went wrong, after Shavuos, right? That needs to be fixed. Right? So now, the idea of the raglayim, rego, it's called aliyah l'rego, feet. Right, it's all about feet. The whole function of feet is to interact with the outside world. You need to get out, to move, that is the purpose of raglayim, is to be able to interact with the world around you. Otherwise, you'd be stuck in your place. That's how we go out and we accomplish. Got to go out. Go out to work, go out to accomplish, go out and do. Right? So now, the Torah says, and of course, go out to the field to work. Go out and grow the produce, your aviv, your katsir. You go out to the sadeh. Right? So the... So the function of the Gimel Regalim, right, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, all this interaction with the outside world could, drag you down. Right? You get involved with the profane world. I want that elevated. Right? And he made it perfectly parallel to the different phases during the year of our earthly, the landmarks in our earthly endeavors. There's the idea when we finally see things bloom, when we go out to harvest things. So Rosh says, by all those major landmarks of interaction with the outside world, I want you to elevate it. That's called Aliyah LaRego, right? So you generally go out to the field, go out. I want you to go to the Beis HaMikdash. I want you to go to the Beis HaMikdash. And that's really the whole cycle of life is, to go out, as the Pasuk says, Yetzei Adam Lepolo, you go out to work. You go out to work. All the work, all kashas outside of yourself. And that's what you need feet for. Go out and do. Go out and accomplish. All right. At the end of your life, right? So there's interesting lashon in Tanakh about dying, which I don't know if we have it in any other language. Vaye osef el amav, right? And sometimes it's even more particular. Vaye sof raglov el hamita.
That's a bayakon.
That's right. Vaye sof raglov. You gather in, you gather even more particular about the feet. Gather in the legs onto the bed. You bring it all in, because by the end of your life, everything that you accomplished outside of yourself, you gather in, and it becomes encoded inside your tzelem, and you take it with you to the next world.
Can I say something?
Right, and therefore, the three regalim, and this it says in the Akedas Yitzchak says this, right, that the three regalim is the cycle of life. Also, it's not just the agricultural cycle; it's just the annual cycle, it's the cycle of life, birth. Maturity and adolescence, doing all you can do, and then at the end you gotta bring it all in, and then you go to heaven after you bring it all inside of yourself. that's the cycle through going. But the question is like this: we said before, mitoch shalolishma bolishma adam nifal afi pulosav, so. All sounds good. Is it? Do we find that it always works? Does it always work? Let me talk shalashma balashma. The kids, the way they phrase this, fake it until you make it. Does every faker make it?
No.
Right? Every faker make it. Now, of course, we don't know anybody like this, that their whole life they were faking. They never made it. They're always faking. Right? Right? So there's a davar nifla to be aware of, and this is the problem that we have in chinuch. I'm sure we've all raised kids and we all realize the mistakes that we've made, and we realize in hindsight that I don't know the solution to this, that every child has to be really raised differently, and it's a problem if you want to raise a family with standardized standardized rules, right? But that's why we're trying to ask people to really raise differently, because here's the thing, to illustrate, it was a book that came out, decades ago. It's what propelled Jonathan Rosenblum to be one of the premier Jewish writers. He wrote a book, Lieutenant Birnbaum. Right? So one thing that resonates throughout the book is that he credits all his discipline to having been a World War II soldier. That's why even at the end of his year, Sof Yomov, he could take on davening nates. Discipline, I was a soldier. I was the only, Now, I know a lot of people that, you know, their time in the military ruined them, and after they get discharged, they can't function in life. Right. They're the most under, you know. We find it in kids, amongst my children. I have one son that, you know, loved, he was a kid like all the kids, right? But he believed that the pressure cooker of an Israeli yeshiva katana is the right thing. And he blossomed, you know, that's okay, so it's hard, but I'm being disciplined, I'm being trained. I had another son that found it oppressing, right? And, you know, so how is it that, you know, some people, you know, the discipline takes and strikes root, and looking back, they're so grateful for the discipline. There are those that it was oppression, it was terrible, and they rebel and they go the other way, right?
Everybody's built so differently.
So the question is, what is the difference? And the answer is like this. The question is whether your heart is in it or not. Anyway, hard, you know, if you believe that the, you know, even if it's hard, but you believe that the discipline is right, so you accept it and you allow it to change you. You allow it, you know, for the better. If you don't agree with it, so every moment of it is oppression. Right? And it depends where everyone's heart is. You know, so Nefesh HaChaim says an amazing thing that is very ignored. You know, it's and such a basic truth. He says, you know, that which Chazal say, mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma, that's only if when you are doing the shelo lishma, you yourself want and are wishing to come lishma. It's not automatic. It's like, you know, I'm weak, I wish I could do it lishma, so I'll start with shelo lishma. So because you want it to affect you that way, that's why it will affect you that way. Okay? So the internalizing of any discipline, and certainly if we're talking about internalizing mitzvah, something spiritual, your heart has to be in it. Your heart has to be in it. Right. You have to be willing. Now we have a split heart. That's why I say, you know, b'chol levavcha. Plural, levav, right? Levav, the double bays, because we have yetzer tov, yetzer ra. We have, whenever you're having one of these experiences, you know, where someone's trying to teach you something or discipline you or anything, you know, and you wonder if it's up to dumb luck that, you know, the person giving you the message hits you at the right moment when the good side of your heart is, and it's lined up and it goes in. Yeah, you know, and that's why, you know, it's the no one's got the method. No one's got the method. It's some kid could have hated, you know, his schooling, you know, up to a certain age, and then he flips out. But when he flipped out, you know, the rabbim weren't telling him anything different than what he heard already in high school and elementary school, right? It was the same stuff. It's not that guy had the method, you know. The timing was as such that there was a alignment that the goodness of his heart, that side of the heart, was dominant at that time when he was hearing this stuff, whereas earlier in life, you know. So every Kirov organization, we got the method. It's nonsense, right? And I know I worked in Kirov. Yeah, Chabad says they got the method. Esh says they got the method, right? Because Varai, that guy was by Chabad and it didn't work. He came to us, it worked. Whereas, you know, they say the same thing. He was by Esh, it didn't work. He came to us, we got him. It was all timing, when his heart was open. Everyone's method is equally as good or equally as bad. No qualitative different. You know, the timing for that individual is what made all the difference in the world. Right? And this is the problem that has existed ever since Chet Eitz Hadas Tovara. You know, as the Nefesh HaChaim explains, you know, Das Tovara means that the Tov and Ra are hopelessly mixed. Right, you know, there's no clear division that you could say, you know, right now I'm only using the goodness in my heart. Right now they're hopelessly adulterated, right? And you have to hope that, you know, when the message, you know, hits, you know, when it hits, you know, you have the heart is aligned, that there's enough goodness concentrated, and then, you know, the student accepts it as like the best thing that ever happened to him. You know, and if it's hard, well, it's good. You know, it's worth it. Right, it's worth it. It's, you know, it's like a good workout. So the problem was created by the Eitz Hadas Tovara, which by no coincidence, the anniversary thereof is on Rosh Hashanah. All right, and we're going to get back to that. Right. So now the Indian of the shofar, right? You know, Hashem by Matan Torah, he was blowing the shofar, and it's going to happen again at the end of time. Bayamu yitaka b'shofar gadol. And that's what we, you know, and we daven, you know, taka b'shofar gadol. Who cares about the show? Who cares about the sound effects? So we don't daven. It's like we daven taka b'shofar every single day. And also by shofros on Rosh Hashanah, we say taka b'shofar gadol l'cheruseinu. Same tefillah that we say every day is incorporated in that bracha. It's sound effects, right? Obviously, there's got to be something about the shofar per se. Right, that we asked the Ribbono Shel Olam blow the shofar. Right? It's not just a sound effect. It's not background music. It's something integral to Matan Torah. It's something integral to what's going to be at the end of time. So the Ramchal explains this in a Sefer Days call that's called Mamar HaChachma. And he says an amazing thing, that, you know, that the power of the shofar is to create alignment that the good is dominant, and the evil is subdued.
Recessive.
Right? Subdued. All right. So he says, and to get into the details of why this would take too long, and not that I fully understand it either. He said, but that's what the blowing of the shofar, when Akashu blows the shofar. Right, so it means that it creates a cosmic alignment that to make the good dominant and the evil recessive. Yeah. So says the Ramchal like this, by Matan Torah, right? The idea of kol shofar, you know, the Torah makes it very clear. Those sounds were the sounds of the shofar, right? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about to give a law. Right? Now he wants the law to be well received and observed. You know, accepted, absorbed, you know, internalized. So for that purpose, because of Chet Adam Rishon, mixed up the good and evil, and you know, and there's no such thing as 100% pure heart. But you need the pure heart, right, for the for the law to be, you know, internalized, right? And he wanted, you know, the law internalized, you know, cosmically and within the hearts of Klai. So that's why he blew the shofar. It was a tremendous experience of changing, of stacking the deck of good and evil, with the good on top and evil on bottom, right? And if, you know, they Am Yisrael would have held the level, right, we would have gotten the luchos, right? And what do the luchos represent? What do you do with luchos? It's not a kosher sefer Torah. Can't take it out for laning. What do you do with that stuff? Yeah. What did the luchos represent?
They encapsulated, it was like a seed that encapsulated the whole Torah.
It's more than that. The luchos represents the pure heart. Mm. Like the pasuk says, kosveim al luchos libecha. Right? If Am Yisrael would have held the level that they gained on Shavuos, you had not succumbed to the ego. Right? So, you know, the Torah would have been engraved in the heart, totally internalized, like the writing was engraved on the tablets. You know, and we know that the first luchos were Ma'ase Elokim. Even the tablets were divine. Even the tablets were divine, right? Because, you know, the, you know, man and the Torah could become a perfect oneness, right? And that, and connected would also be a perfect alignment between body and soul, a total cosmic alignment between the spiritual and the physical. They would not be in opposition. You know, the physical would be accepting and internalize the spiritual. Like the word of Hashem engraved on the tablets, engraved in the heart. It represents the pure heart, you know, that and that's what the shofar of Matan Torah created. Now jumping ahead to the end of time, that's all taka b'shofar gadol, right? Because that's exactly, you know, what happens at the end of time. At the end of time is to finally make once and for all the good dominant, and to subdue evil. Once that's the shofar gadol, You know, it's, you know, the stress is shofar gadol. By mantra, it wasn't the shofar gadol. It was kol ha-shofar. It was the beginning of a process that we were supposed to play a role in advancing, right? You know, and increasing the dominance of good over evil. And it would be, so you go from shofar to shofar gadol, and take a look in all the psukim in the Machzor on Rosh Hashanah by shofros. It's the psukim from Matan Torah, and it's the psukim from Lasid Level. Those are the two shofars, you know, the beginning of the process, the finality of the process. And that's why the immediate result of the shofar gadol is l'cheru senu. The immediate result is Am Yisrael gets out of Golos. Because Am Yisrael being in Golos is a metaphor. We being one of the perks or the liabilities of being the chosen nation is that whatever's going on cosmically has to happen to us. We're a living metaphor of whatever's going on. And the way the Rebbe Rosh is manig the world, you could see a little microcosm of it, mitzah what's happening to Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael being in Golus under the nations of the world is that the Tov is meshubad to the Ra, that the Ra is dominant and the Tov is, you know, dominated by the Ra. So the shofar gadol is l'cheru senu. The first immediate result is Am Yisrael is liberated, going from being under the Umas Olam that, you know, which are evil, dominating the good. So now Am Yisrael, you know, the Tov is Yotze l'cherus. That's why that's the immediate result on the spot. And because Am Yisrael on earth plays out whatever is going on cosmically. So the immediate result is, you know, the liberation of Am Yisrael, that we're not subjugated by the Umas Olam anymore, just like the good is no longer subjugated under the evil. Right? And you know, and that's the and that's a very necessary process to have internalization, because like we said, all the good that you do could be lost on you, even though you're the one doing it, right? Because if you're not doing it with a pure heart, right, it doesn't get reinvested back into you. It has to, it has to fall upon a pure heart. Well, it's a famous word from, they say, named the Kotzke Rebbe. Ve'odri ma'ela al levavecha, on your heart, right? Why does it should be bilavavecha? It doesn't always go in, right? If the heart's rotten, right? It doesn't go in. But, says the Kotzke, the Eitza is, you know, if you ever did something good, you know, try to stay connected to that goodness. Don't forget about it. It should be stacked up on your heart for when the heart finally opens up, it'll go in. So you have to like try to always, you know, naturally, like if it's something good, it didn't affect you at the time, try to keep a living memory of it. Try to stay connected to that event, you know, so as when the heart does shift and it could penetrate, it'll be there. It'll be al avavcha, so it could go bil avavcha at the appropriate time. So it's eitzav. You had one of these experiences, but it didn't hit you the way you should. Just try to stay connected to that experience. Right, so when your heart shifts, you know, there'll be something left of it to penetrate. So stack it up on top of your heart and leave it stacked there. Don't lose your connection to it until it could go bilavavecha. So now what happened, you know, by the cheta egel, right, and subsequently Tisha B'Av, you know, it's Shavasar Thomas and Tisha B'Av. Right, there's a common theme over there, you know, and that's, you know, a broken heart. All right, we said the luchas represent the, you know, the heart, you know, and the luchas were broken in response to cheta egel. There's something also about the Beis Hamikdash, you know, that Chazal say that when you daven, you know, there's a halacha to face Yerushalayim. So, and it's an amazing thing. It's one of the few halachas that are doraisa about tefillah. Most of tefillah, you know, aside from the just basic raw command, all the basic guidelines are all durabonan, the time of davening, what to daven, right? But there's one exception to that rule. You know, you have to face Yerushalayim. That's biblical. That's amazing. That halacha of facing Yerushalayim is biblical. It's deraisa. At least the Rambam understands that way. That's the one thing about tefillah. It's doraisa to face Yerushalayim. I mean, it's a din doraisa, but it's not ma'akev. You know, b'dieved. You know, if you don't know where Yerushalayim is, you just mechaven generally, you know, to Hashem. But you know, but if you know where Yerushalayim is, you have to face Yerushalayim when you daven. It's an interesting thing. It's the one thing about tefillah that's doraisa. You know, one guideline. So Chazal, you know, make it a little bit more particular, right? Yechaven libo keneged base kodesh hakodashim. Now you should have him, you know, align your heart with the kodesh hakodashim. Right? So, you know, it's, you know, they're adding the spirit of the idea. So you're physically supposed to face towards the makom hamikdash, but you're supposed to be mechaven your heart keneged the kodesh hakodashim. Right? And so Nefesh HaChaim explains, you know, because, you know, the kodesh hakodashim had a function similar to the luchos. And that's why also, that when, by the first temple, when we had the Aron, what did the Aron, which was in the Kodesh Kodashim, what did it have in it? The luchos. That was the makom of the luchos. You know, by the second temple, we didn't have the Aron, right? Right? But, you know, but you're saying, you know, the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the makom of the luchos, right? You know, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you know, Yerushalayim, you know, Beis Yerusha in general, Kodesh HaKadoshim in particular, it's like the national heart of Am Yisrael. And that's why when we had luchos, that's where you put them. You put them in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's the heart of the Jewish people. It's our national heart. You know, as hard, and you also align your heart with the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because the Kodesh HaKadoshim is like the national heart. Right? You're supposed to daven b'chol levavcha. Eshua avodah shebalev, zu tefila. So yechavin libo knesh b'chol Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right? So that's a common denominator, right, that you have of shviras haluchas, right, and Churban HaBayis are you know, that two different, you know, the two different manifestations of our heart were destroyed. You know, and the two events are connected. Those are the beginning of the 3 weeks, the end of the 3 weeks. Right? A broken heart. You know, and how did the heart break? Right? You know, because our values got distorted. Right? Now, it started with a mistake. They first miscalculated when Moshe was supposed to come back. Right? Then they panicked. They didn't think it through that maybe they miscalculated. Assumed that, you know, Moshe is gone. It's not coming back. All right? So then, you know, so one mistake led to another and said, well, we have to take matters into our own hands. Because according to the Kuzri, you know, he understands that Moshe promised them he's coming back from heaven with plans for a Mishkan, which they needed badly, because they were coming from a pagan society and they said they needed something tangible for their avoda. They couldn't be served. So they thought like this, we're going to have to take matters in our own hands. And that's how the Kuzri understands that the eagle was the Mishkan in their minds. Because they were promised a Mishkan. Right? But what can you do? That's a further mistake of lo sasel chapeso. What's matir, the graven images of the Mishkan, is the divine command that I want you to make these things. The Aron, the Kruvim, but without the divine command to specifically make them, it remains Osir because of any Isir to make a Pesel. Only what's specifically divinely mandated. They didn't know that. They thought that if, as long as you make it L'Shem Shamayim, that should be good enough. They didn't realize that it's the Tzivui, it's the command that makes it not Ois Pesel, right? It's not, you know, just your intent. Right, so one mistake leads to another that leads to doing avodah zarah, you know, and this was unraveling, right, the tikkun that was made with the kol shofar gadol, because the kol shofar gadol was our minds are confused because of the sin of Adam, there's not as take a look at the Democratic Party. We'd like to believe, you know, their heart is in the right place. I don't even know what that means, heart, right place. You know, totally confused, right? You know, the kol shofar is to make some seder, right? So even if it doesn't, you know, the shofar of Mantar didn't eradicate evil altogether, but it stacked things up with the tov being dominant and the ra being recessive. Right, and that would have been a certain state of clarity of mind that leads to purity of heart, right? But now, falling into their confusion, right? They jumbled, they got mixed up. That's the problem of that's what we say, al chet shechaton flecha besimhon levav, right? Confusion of the heart is the worst thing, right? When you get confused, you know, you're lost. You're lost, right? You've lost your moral yardstick, right? And you perpetually need a moral yardstick, because things are adulterated with evil because sin of Adam. You can't lose connection. with your, you know, your moral GPS, your moral yardstick, and that's what they lost. They got confused. And that's why the indirect result to that, there's shviras haluchos. You know, the heart is no longer pure because the seder of making the tov dominant and the ra recessive, right? That was undone. That was unraveled. Later down the line, right? The same thing repeated itself with the cheder meraglin. They managed to confuse Am Yisrael. Even though Am Yisrael was able to think it through within 24 hours, and that's why they thought they would attack, you know, and capture Eretz Yisrael himself, the Ma'apilim, right? Too late. And Moshe Rabbeinu warns him, it's not going to work anymore. Because, you know, once the confusion, you know, gets in, you know, it takes a lot of work to root it out. That's what the Gemara says. Shabeshta kevan da ol. Right. Once you give a Talmud a confused message, it strikes root in the heart. It's not okay. Heard one piece of confusion. You know, one piece of no. It has a real detrimental effect on the heart. You know, that's the Gemara explains it because Yoav wanted to kill his Rebbe for giving him disinformation. Yoav ben Tzruya, the Gemara wants to, in the end he didn't, but he really wanted to kill him. He said, why? Because Shabeshta came into all. You know, disinformation is, you know, has a lethal effect, you know, on the heart because the heart is like a wild horse, you know, that needs to be disciplined because, like, the Tov and Ra are just freely infiltrating each other, creating a great deal of confusion, right? And adding confusion, you know, offsets a balance that's very difficult to keep in the first place. Right? So this is what, you know, these two chatar, the chedam, you know, the chedam ragam, the chedam ego, you know, added to Am Yisrael's confusion. Right, and so now we're talking about the problem that there is, you know, inside the heart, right? That, you know, our confusion. You know, we've been confused, and in confusion you can't make seder between tov and ra, right? And that's what derails us from sukkahs. That's what derails from. That is the point of derailment between Shavuos and Sukkos, because from Shavuos you're supposed to now, as your potential becomes actualized, you're also supposed to be of a certain level of purity of heart, that everything good that you do gets reabsorbed and constantly the good is reinforced. And it's a positive cycle of the good reinforcing the good, but that only works if your heart is properly aligned to be receiving of the good, right? And to be processing the good as good, you know, and to be processing the evil as evil. If you're confused inside, you know, the good could, you know, reinforce the evil, and the evil could re. You know, it's all, you know, if it's all big confusion on the inside, you know. So even if you do the right thing, it's not going to have the right effect upon you. And in that way, you know, everything that went wrong is dafka in the juncture between Shavuos and Sukkos, when it's about doing the right thing. But then after that, you know, that all the efforts that you exert in doing the right thing could be reinvested inside of you, right? And reinforce your purity of heart and further build your inner spiritual essence, right? We don't have kalim for that anymore. We don't have kalim for the osif if there's confusion of values. We don't have kalim anymore. See, if you force a person to do good, it's not going to make him a better person. He doesn't have kalim to absorb the positive effect of his results because he's confused, doesn't know how to process. Even what he's doing himself, he doesn't know how to process. And that's why the point of derailment is between Shavuos and Sukkos, between getting the law as to the right thing to do and being able to absorb it, right? And you know, absorb, which has, you know, the added effect of reinforcing the good inside of you. Right, and reinforcing the good that's inside the cosmos gets reabsorbed. The positive action gets absorbed to reinforce the good. That's what got derailed, and that's what needs to be rebuilt.
So right. If a person is in a state of confusion,
yes,
and you tell them, well, do this and do this, how are you going to leave it? How are you going to you're saying it's not going to help because the
that's
confusion
right.
is already there.
That's correct.
So what?
That's correct.
So what answer can you give them?
So that's why Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is not another thing to do. It's a fundamental re-evaluation of your values. Mm-hmm. That's right. They're not regalim. That's not something that you do. The regalim is, you know, your interaction with the outside world, which you got to make sure to elevate it. They're not regalim. It's all inner work. It's not outer work. You know, it's not something. It's not a ma'aseh. Ma'aseh is what you do to interact with the outside world. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is all avodas pinim. That's why there's no din of aliyah l'regel. You got nowhere to go. This is the workplace inside of you. It's not avodas chutz, right? You know, to do something good for the world. It's a total reevaluation inside of you. And it starts, you know, by the shofar Matan Torah, and the shofar Lasid Lavo, right? Akharis will blew the shofar. Right, and he was, from his end, realigning reality to make the good dominate. Hashem says, now you blow the shofar. You know, you have to now try to struggle to make the alignment. Right? Right? You blow the shofar is, now you have to start making Seder in your inner world. Right? Right? And you know, seek out the good and make it declare it dominant, and seek out the evil and reject it inside. So it's called you blow the shofar, right? You make Seder inside of your head. That's it's called Yom HaZikaron. You know, the biblical name for Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaZikaron. Who forgot anything? What was forgotten?
If you got to a state of confusion, that's what was forgotten. That's right. Original clarity.
That's right. Forgotten. That's what you have to remember, you know. Remember, right? Mm-hmm. Remember, you know. Take stock. Who am I really? You know, where am I headed? You know, to remember where you came from. You know, remember what you were created for. And that's, with this you can understand what the Gemara says, something amazing. You know, the Gemara, discusses, why you can't use the shofar of a para, right? Of an ox. Use an ox horn, you know, drill it and make it blow. So the Gemara says, you know, you're not allowed to have, because ein kateger nase saneger, right? You know, the prosecutor cannot be a defense. We're on trial Rosh Hashanah, and this will remind Hashem of the cheda ego. So the Gemara asks the following question, right? Says that's not a problem, you know, anywhere outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's only a problem inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What's the proof? Because the dominant feature of the Kohen Gadol's garments was gold. Big days of, right? Yeah. You know, carrying a lot of gold in the construct of the Shmona Begadim. Right? Did the avodah all the time with big days off? It was zav, ego zav, you know. But it's only a problem in Kodesh HaKadoshim. Only in Kodesh, he had to a big day lovan. So you see, you know, and we said before, Rosh Hashanah is not a regel. And now even if it would be a regel, it's only a problem in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So says the Gemara like this. And very interesting there. And now you understand what the Gemara means in light of what we said. Shofar, kevan de lezikaron ka'asi, Kilifnim Dami. Shin Zofar is about Zikaron, remembering. It's like Bifnim. It's like inside. It's like in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You know, it's fascinating. Sounds awesome. Question, what does it mean? That since it's Zikaron, it's Yom HaZikaron, it's like Lifnim. It's like Lifnim. It's like in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because Shofar is to fix the heart, right? We said the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the national heart. It's to fix our heart, which is so, like we said before, Yechav and Libo Kenege Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? You know, your heart is your personal Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it ties in to the national Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's why when you dive into Hashem with all your heart, be facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's a parallel. Since you're doing Avodah Pnim, your inner Avodah, you're in Avodah, which is parallel to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is the national heart. So that's why Shofar has a halacha as if you're in Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that's why Ein Kategor Na'aseh Sanegor. We're working on the innermost inner chambers of reality. Our inner chambers, like going to our core programming, and that's really the difference between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Explain this. We're going into our core program, our core chip, right, to do root work, to get everything realigned. That's the power of the shofar. Zikaron Kasi. So Hashem said, now you're going to have to work on yourself, to realign yourself. I blew the shofar for you, by Matan Torah, right? You deviated from the tikkun I made for you. Now you have to do it for yourself. And of course, it gets a response from heaven. The Mekubalim tell us, the Zohar says, when we blow the shofar below, so Hashem, of course, assists us. Habol l'tar misana. So, and we reawaken the shofar of Matan Torah. And that's why we're successful with our blowing of the shofar, because we show that we care and we want to realign ourselves. Hashem responds to our blowing of the shofar with his shofar that he blew by Matan Torah, with a me'ain of the shofar of Lasu Lavo, and that's why it is successful. But we're coming to, Rosh Hashanah is all inner work, inner work. All the work is on the inside. Yeah, and this, explains something very interesting. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov, and you're supposed to, eat, drink, like all any Yom Tov, there's a din of Simchas Yom Tov, and not only that, there's a special stringency to make merry on Rosh Hashanah that was enforced by Nehemiah. Because right. Nehemiah tells the story, they came back, it was Rosh Hashanah, everyone's crying, Yom HaDin. And he says, no, you go home. You go home, you have to eat, drink. And from there, some poskim say it's Asur to cry in Rosh Hashanah. Right? Because that pasuk in Nehemiah. Right? It has to be, what do you mean? It's Yom HaDin. So it's written in the name of the Arizal that at the time of the blow, and also by the same token, there's no vidui in Rosh Hashanah, even though we're on trial. Right? No vidui. But yet, it's brought down in the Arizal some things that are seemingly in contradiction. Anyone who doesn't cry in Rosh Hashanah has a rotten soul. Right? If you go through Rosh Hashanah, you don't shed a tear. It becomes clear when you read the other passages from the Arizal. It says the time for crying and time also to say vidui even, is all in your mind at the time of the blowing of the shofar. Because outwardly, in the outside, mitzad called the rego, it's not a rego, but mitzad the outwardness of Rosh Hashanah, it's a Yom Tov. The intense introspection, it's all root work. It's all going on inside. The crying, you should cry internally. And just the opposite, if you do it externally, so it's a show. and Rosh Hashanah is all about avodas pnim, zikaron. It's all about changing your mind. That's why it's called Rosh Hashanah. That's what I'm saying. Now, why is it called Haskolas Hashanah? Tchilas Hashanah. Right? They say because you're worried, changing your head. Yom HaZikaron, it's all about changing the mind. Mitzad the guf, it's Yom Tov, and just the opposite. Make sure that you keep the focus internal by and don't make it a show, because if you do it externally, so it's external. No. Externally, it's Yom Tov, right? The whole avodas pnim, it's all inner work. It's all to reevaluate your core values. So the intensity, the regret, the crying, it's all on the inside, not on the outside. Right? It's not a rego. It's not about a certain interaction with the outside world. It's not about elevating it's all avodas pnim. It's literally all in the head. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's working on the mind. It's working in mind to reevaluate. That's how it fits with the theme. That's how it fits with the theme of of being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, coronating, because that's the core value. The core value that we have to get straight, you know, that we start from is, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech and his word is law, right? And that's where it starts from. You know, when you get that core value straight, the other values fall into place. Right? It's the beginning. That's where it starts from. All right? The day, there's two other aspects to this that fit with this day. So first of all, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, you're going to go back to the root of the problem. Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of Chet Adam Arishon that created the root problem that wasn't totally remedied at the time of Matan Torah, right? All right, so therefore Hashem says, on the day where it all started, that's where you make the tikkun. So on Rosh Hashanah, the day that Adam was created, the day that Adam sinned and brought confusion to himself and the world, that, you know, the whole struggle of destiny, right, is to undo, you know, the confusion that Eitz Hadas brought to the world. So on this day, we do this avar. It's a countermeasure. It's interesting. It's brought down. The Ramchal says, you know, we know the din is up to Chatzos. Right, you know, so if, you know, this thing about not sleeping in Rosh Hashanah, the real way to do it correctly is to get up while it's still dark, because it's about not being asleep when the din is happening. So din is from, you know, from Netz until Chatzos. So the real way to do it right is to wake up while it's still dark. So after Chatzos, you go to sleep. Yeah, you know, if you need to, right? It's not to be asleep while you're on trial. Right. So the Ramchal points out something very interesting. You know, that the Chet of Adam Rishon happened after Chatzos. Yeah, until Chatzos is still being created. Right, then after, like in the 10th hour, he got the tzivui, it was over by the 11th. You know, and then in the 12th hour, he was judged, and that laid down a precedent for Rosh Hashanah in the future. So Ramchal says, well, the Ribosh was trying to help us out. He doesn't, you know, we're trying to fix Chet Adam Rishon, you know, and he's not going to try us at the time when the Chet happens. So he actually brings the trial in earlier, that the Zman of Chet Adam Rishon shouldn't prosecute against us. He's trying to help us out, make it easier for us, right? You know, to help us undo what we did wrong. You know, so the trial is, you know, before the anniversary of the Chet. That's what he writes. That's why the din is up to Chatzos, because, you know, that get that out of the way before there's a Zecher for the Chet of Adam Rishon that happened after Chatzos. We're going back to the root of the problem, and we blow our shofar, which is a countermeasure to Chet Eitz Hadas, and because we deviated from the shofar of Matan Torah. But then it's also it marks the new year. Right? So Ramchal says something very simply. The Am Yisrael's destiny is sandwiched between two shofars, right? The shofar of Matan Torah, we got our law and got our mission, and the shofar God of Lasid Lavo, right? You know, Hashem says, you want to move from this shofar to that shofar, right? Would have been a lot easier if not for Cheda Ego and Cheda Maragim, right? So the way you move from this shofar to that shofar is by the shofar that you blow on Rosh Hashanah. So that means what moves the wheel of time that we're progressing, you know, in our, for lack of a word, the evolution of ourselves and the world, that the good becomes what moves the wheel of time is the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. That's why the year switches on that day. That the power of the shofar is what moves destiny forward. And that's why the year shifts on that day. What moves it then, you know? It should be the new year, not arbitrarily. New year because we've reached a new level in our development. The shofar of Rosh Hashanah pushes the progress from the shofar of Matan Torah towards the shofar of Lasid Lavo. That's why it's the day where the year shifts. It's with the power of the shofar, of realigning our values. Right? That's what moves the wheel of destiny forward. That's what turns the wheel of time in a constructive way, that we're progressing. And Rosh Hashanah is the start. It starts in the mind. It starts with perception, and then the perception has to expand to the point that your whole personality is built on it, right? And that's the whole transition from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. Right? Rosh Hashanah is to start with the core values, head. But the ideas in the head also have to penetrate down to the heart. Right? And that's Yom Kippur. So what happens on Yom Kippur, historically and then afterwards in history, by the first Yom Kippur, we got the second Luchos.
Right.
We rebuilt our heart. What happens every Yom Kippur afterwards, B'zman Shel Beis HaMikdash HaKayim, even though it's not a regel, but still the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKodashim, which is our national heart. We get our heart back. And it's a 10-day process of first getting your core values, which are, and that's, by the way, that's in Svarim, that's what I explained, is the function of the brain as opposed to the heart. The brain is the core values. The heart is when these core values expand to make up the basic construct of your whole personality. And that's the process from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, going from Rosh to Lev, right? Getting your values straight, and that's the shofar. And then through the continuous process of Yisrael Tshuva, on the 10th day, you get your luchos back. You got your luchos, and parallel to that, Kongo goes into the Karsh Krashim, which is the makom of the lev. Right? And these two chagim, they're not regalim. It's all about inner work. The regalim are about outer work, right? Your interaction with the outside world and elevating that. And in the schus that we reroute, we rebuild the mind and heart and get our values straight, that's how we get everything back on track for Sukkos. And connects to Sukkos, because when we've purified the heart, we can now internalize. Without that, there's no asif. There's no bringing all our mitzvahs and making it a part of ourselves, because if you're corrupt on the inside, even if you do good, you're not connected to that good that you do. That good cannot be reabsorbed. And that's why this position, that these are not regalim, it's kulu avoras hapanim, but it facilitates the asif, and that's why it connects. And it finalizes with Sukkos that, it puts us in a position that all the good that we do, right, can now be reabsorbed in ourselves and our cosmos, right, to bring about the Tikkun HaShem. All right, thank you very much. K'siyuv Chasima Tova.